Welcome to the Herbal Womb Wisdom Podcast, where we explore the embodied practice of herbalism with the womb at the center for folks who are new to herbs or herbalists in the making. This is a place to become empowered to include herbs and natural therapies in your personal health and, most importantly, to reconnect to the deep wisdom and healing capacity of your own body and the earth. I'm your host, clinical herbalist and integrative health educator, Kaelea Honeybee. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome. Welcome back if you're returning, and welcome, welcome if you're new. Very grateful again to be here with you. It really is. It's just such an honor to be here. It's always a little strange, this one-way communication. I wish that I could ask how you are and that you could respond to me, but here we are. This is how it is. I'm sitting here and it is misty, raining outside, and the ground is very green and the trees are very green and the sky is very gray, as it has been for the better part of the last 6 weeks here in the Wabanaki lands of Maine. We have been having so much rain, and I don't know what it's been like where you live, if you've been having a humid and hot or rainy or dry or extra hot or extra cool or comfortable. Maybe you've been in a really moderate climate and you've just been really able to totally release into summertime. Here, I am kind of working through day after day of humidity and just like the stickiness and the way that my body feels in the environment of humidity constantly. It's interesting because it's been fairly cool, but then there have been some days that it's been hotter. And I notice how it impacts my brain, how it impacts my skin and my hair, and even potentially my digestion. It's kind of interesting. I feel like I typically think of summer as a time where it's extra hot and we might get a little bit dry because we get so heated up, like I was sharing about in the ways to cool down in the summer episode that I did a few weeks ago. And I am actually noticing that I have more dampness, right? There's just a little bit more dampness in my body this summer than typical. And so maybe it's okay for me to have more fiery things because it's just cooler and moister. Anyway, curious how things are going where you are. I hope that you're able to enjoy the beauty of summer, the blossoming of the flowers if you're in the northern hemisphere, and if you're in the depths of winter in the southern hemisphere, I hope that you're really able to enjoy that inward space and just that deeper listening and that dreaming of what's coming. It's a beautiful time of year, no matter where you are. So today, I am really looking forward to sharing this interview. It's actually a really special one with Lindsay Corsell. Lindsay is a myofascial release practitioner, which is a very specific modality that's actually not very well known. So I'm really looking forward to you getting to hear about it and just to understand a little bit more about fascia in our bodies and how fascia actually impacts every single part of your body, every single place. There is fascia everywhere. Fascia is what connects. Fascia is the underlying matrix, essentially, or overlying matrix, you could call it, kind of in-between matrix, between all the parts of our body, and they all communicate in ways through the state of our fascia. So Lindsay will share so much more about this around what fascia is and the different kind of states that fascia can be in, whether that's like fluid or solid, and how the body can hold trauma potentially through our fascia in different places of our body, how that can be a part of it. And then she's going to talk about myofascial release, which is the modality that she works with. And she's even going to guide a specific breast or chest practice. Towards the end, she guides a practice so you can actually feel it in your own body. And we talk about just the emotions that the body can hold, especially in places like your pelvis. We talk about internal pelvic work, and she has actually courses on internal pelvic work and a course on breast and chest myofascial release, which is like a DIY course that she's actually leading a live version of. So I want you to know about this because I know sometimes it can take a while to get through one of these episodes. She is leading she calls it her myofascial breast care course. I believe that's what she calls it. She's leading it on July 16th, 2023, July 16th, which is actually this coming Sunday. And it's going to be live if you want to attend live, or you can get the replay. And she has a coupon code for listeners of this podcast. So whether you want to attend live this coming Sunday, July 16th, 2023, or you want the replay, or you're listening to this after the fact, the coupon code will still be valid. And the coupon code is WISDOM. And you can find a link to the course in the description, the show notes description, and also on the show notes page. So if you want to go check that out, herbalwomb.com/episode77. I have no affiliation with this course, and I do think that it's a really beautiful opportunity to connect therapeutically with this incredible part of your body. Whether you already have a relationship with this part of your body or it's a new relationship that you're forming, it's just a really powerful place to connect to in ways that are therapeutic. So we will be talking a little bit about that today in the interview, so you can definitely learn a little bit more about how your breasts or your chest and your pelvis can be holding emotions and stuck energy or trauma, or, you know, and how myofascial release can be very helpful. And this is something that you can do yourself or you can have done. I am excited for you to hear the interview. There's so much in it. Everything from understanding this particular form of body work to understanding what fascia is to really like connecting in with some of your deeper intuition and inner knowing, and this being a way that you can actually start to listen more deeply to yourself. And she drops some really beautiful wisdom around how the earth is related to our bodies and our bodies are related to the earth. It's just good. This is good stuff. So I'm really looking forward to sharing this with you. But before we dive in, let's do the disclaimers. That number one, nothing that you hear today is medical advice whatsoever. I'm an herbalist and an integrative health educator and integrative health coach, and Lindsay is a myofascial release practitioner. So everything that you hear is for your own information, education, for your personal empowerment, for you to feel into your own body. Literally today, there is going to be some guidance in feeling into your own body and supporting yourself, but feel what feels true and right for you. And if you have any specific conditions or concerns, check in with somebody that can support you, a practitioner of some kind that you want to work with. Second disclaimer is that today there are gendered pronouns used throughout the episode, and the words breasts are used quite often throughout the episode. So women, mother, grandmother, all of those words are used in the episode, but everything that is shared is applicable to you, no matter what your gender is. Okay, without further ado, here is the interview. Yay. Welcome, Lindsay. Welcome, welcome. I'm so grateful to have you here. I really am. Like, I've seen you on Instagram, I guess is the main place that I found you for months and months now, maybe even, I don't think quite a year, but for a while. And I've just been admiring the way that you show up in that space and just the amount of presence that you honestly bring, and like feeling your authenticity and feeling your depth of relationship to your body and to your work and to like sharing the gems of wisdom of like your own therapeutic practices and just your awarenesses. I just love it. I love seeing who you are and how you share. It's really inspiring to me. So I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. That means really a lot. And I'm so grateful to be here talking with you. And I'm so grateful for the medicine that you're sharing with the world.
Thank you. Yeah, same, same. So let's just get started by you introducing yourself, like what your background is, what your work that you do is, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, my name's Lindsay Corsell. My business, at least right now, is called Alchemy Myofascial Release, or Alchemy MFR. So my primary work is in myofascial release, which is a type of body work, working with the fascia. And I've been doing that for about 10 years. And then, of course, I've taken other trainings. I've studied with Tammy Kent in holistic pelvic care, and I've studied integrated positional therapy. And this fall, I will be taking on a new kind of big training called heart healing, which works with hypnotherapy and inner child work to heal deep wounds of the heart. And so I would say that just this year, I've started to teach some online classes, but primarily my work has been in person. It's interesting for you to comment on how I'm showing up online, because that does feel like it feels like important work for me to do, to show up more publicly in my vulnerability, showing how I've worked through some of my own healing, and really just using my voice. And the underlying kind of reason of why I do what I do is mostly because I've started to just recognize that in our culture, we've moved so far away from the earth in some ways. And I had this kind of download on Earth Day. When we touch our bodies, we touch the earth. And so mostly by working with women, I am hoping that I am helping women to transmute some of their traumas and really be able to let their hearts shine and follow their soul's longings and really express their gifts to the world in a way that teaches younger generations how, by doing this, we are allowing spirit and the earth to let its, basically its medicine, kind of flow through us and shine through us. I think that's what I'm coming to. It's constantly changing, but that's like a big part of my mission.
Wow. That's kind of this like really large mission. I mean, it's a beautiful, and it's like coming through you. It seems like you're really allowed to kind of yeah. flow through you in a way that just feels like you're following what feels true.
I am definitely following what feels true to me. And it is big work, and I'm not sure if it will get bigger. It already feels like that mission is so big, but there's so many smaller aspects of it. And the work I'm doing online, for example, with classes in myofascial breast care and internal myofascial pelvic care, I really feel like, especially connecting to these sacred parts of our body that are portals and sources of nourishment. For me, that's kind of where it feels easiest to access that in the body. And then with some of the newer work that I will be offering, just really connecting to the heart and being led through the world by our heart instead of our brain, that feels really important to me. And to teach that, because, and to model that, because I think our society is really analytical, and that's what is trained in our young people. And what I've learned from my myofascial release mentor, John Barnes, is really just how to tap into the intuitive side of my brain and my body and really my heart. So that's what I'm trying to do all the time, is just follow my intuition, follow my heart, and model that for other people.
Mm. I love the concept that touching our bodies, or like connecting with these parts of our bodies, like our breasts or our chest, our pelvic area, like real internally, even that is helping us to connect with the earth and vice versa. To me, that feels so deeply true. Our relationship in my mind to our womb space and just to our generative organs, like the reproductive and generative organs, like both from like a reproductive place, but also like that sexual energy and that sensual energy. All of that for me is very like earth connected.
Yeah, it's just, it's so sacred, and our earth is so sacred. And it's interesting. I was at this plant initiation with Pam Montgomery over the weekend, and I recognized I'm connected with plants, and my husband is a farmer and herbalist. And so I know about growing things. I'm maybe just generally more naturally oriented to water and the stars and the wind and things like that. So it was interesting to be in community with pretty large, well, 20-some women learning and experiencing Hawthorne. What kind of came to me through that was just that the way that I tap into the earth is through my body and other bodies that I touch. And so when that came through on Earth Day, it came through as a song. Yeah, when I touch my body, I touch the earth. And I think I'd been a little hard on myself, because I'm always wanting to have more of a connection with the earth. And there are days when I come to my office and I work with a handful of people and I don't spend as much time outside with the plants and nature as much as I'd like. And so I was having this gentleness with myself and just recognizing that when I'm touching a body, I'm touching the earth. We are earth. We are an extension of earth, and she birthed us, really. So the song is very short. It's 4 lines. Can I just sing it really quick?
Please sing it. Oh my gosh, I was going to ask you, but I didn't want to embarrass you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I love to sing, and I'm getting more comfortable putting my voice out publicly, but the song is really simple. It just goes, when I touch my body, I touch the earth. When I touch my body, I touch the earth. This sacred vessel that she did birth. When I touch my body, I touch the earth. And that's it. So it's a simple one, but it just came through and it was just very clear. It was like the earth was just giving me a big hug. And that day I was at home. I was working in the greenhouse with a lot of plants, and it felt so good to do that. But it was just this recognition that I would love it for everyone to get more and more familiar with all the plants, all the herbs. But until that happens, we all have our body, and that is a way that we can tune in to the earth.
I love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing that song. It's just so beautiful. Actually, I'm so grateful we have it recorded because we can go back and listen. I love it. It's like, I want to have that song. I want to have that song on repeat in my head. The way that I have those random songs that just like hang out in the background in my head from my childhood. Like, I want that song in my head.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have an issue with that. And sometimes it's really kind of annoying kids songs that get stuck in my head. So I'm going to hope that gets stuck in my head too.
It's a good one. My gosh. Yeah. I feel like I really resonate with so much of this. And I think my deeper reason for doing everything that I'm doing is very much about reconnecting us all, like reminding us, because it's not like we're actually disconnected.
The reality is
that we are all connected to the earth, that we are all the earth. It's like we have this perception that we're disconnected. So yes, like touching our body is touching the earth. Touching the earth is touching our body.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have goosebumps. It's so true. We are connected. Whether or not we realize it, we're entirely connected. And those connections are so much what I love about working with fascia and myofascial release, is just recognizing how intimately our body is connected, how we are connected to each other. Like mycelium, I feel like fascia is the same, and we are entirely connected, and we are the earth.
Oh my gosh, I love that relationship with mycelium and fascia. Okay, we're going to get into fascia in a minute, but just like, wow, for anybody who's not familiar with what mycelium is, it's kind of like the interconnected, it's underground connections and communication that mushrooms have with each other. It's like, and then when they come out, it's like their whole, really most of their body is the mycelium. And then they communicate with each other, and they communicate with the earth, and they're communicating with plants, and like they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So I love this concept that mycelium is just for the earth, is like fascia for our bodies.
Yeah.
So let's actually dive into fascia, because this is probably going to be a new concept for, I would imagine, a decent amount of people listening. So can you share just like a little bit about what fascia is?
Yeah, totally. So fascia, when I first heard of it, it was through a brochure in the mail advertising for myofascial release. And I'd never even heard of it, barely in massage school, but it was like such a small aspect of massage school. Fascia is connective tissue. It's tissue that runs head to toe in a continuous web. So there's no disconnection. It's entirely connected. It surrounds and supports all of your bones. It supports all of your organs. It interpenetrates all your blood vessels and nerves. It runs through and between every single cell of our bodies. So sometimes I just say, you know, basically like your whole body is fascia. It's the kind of communication network of our body. It's made up of a few different parts, one of which is called the ground substance. And it's like this liquid crystal that's in our bodies. So I often also talk and write and think about the waters of our body and how water holds memory and water allows us to communicate. Essentially, with fascia, I like to also think of an orange and like peeling off the outer peel of the orange. And then you have all those slices, I would say, of the orange. And then even within each slice, there are all these tiny little segmented pieces. That's kind of how fascia works in our body. You know, we can say that there are muscles and bones, but really everything is some form of fascia. I would say my understanding, even though this is my life's work, there's still so much that I could understand better about it. But the main thing that I like to help people understand is that when, for example, there's cadaver labs and things like that, the fascia in a dead person is really different. It's not liquid anymore. If you ever cook meat, you can see those kind of segmented sheets almost around different parts of, you know, say a chicken breast or whatever it is. In a cadaver, that was always just scraped away to see the parts underneath. And so it was really ignored for a long time in mainstream medicine. And now there's been so much work on fascia, and there's a French surgeon who's taken a tiny little microscopic camera and put it under the skin of a living being and multiple living beings and showing how dynamic the fascia is. So it almost looks like this spider web with this liquid running between it. And then these strands of the spider web can glide along each other. They can disconnect and reconnect elsewhere. It's just incredibly dynamic. And when we have restrictions in our fascia, which could come from surgery or just chronic poor posture or accidents, you know, those sorts of things, and also emotional wounds, those restrictions get really solidified and they can have a crushing pressure of up to 2,000 pounds per square inch. So it's like having an elephant sitting on a part of your body, which totally prevents the flow of energy and nutrition and waste. And so also because fascial restrictions don't show up in any of our tests, like MRIs and x-rays and things like that, it just gets ignored. And we put these diagnoses on conditions like fibromyalgia or complex regional pain syndrome or whatever it might be. There's other diagnoses too that are basically just a description of the symptoms, and they're not really telling what the root cause is. So when I'm working with fascia, a big part of it is recognizing where the pain or dysfunction is in the body, but also recognizing that because we're connected from head to toe, there could be a restriction anywhere in the body that is causing those symptoms, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all connected, but you're also saying that it's changeable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's our kind of shock absorbing system, which is why, you know, little kids, they can fall and injure themselves and bounce right back. Although I would say there's an imprint of those injuries in their body. But I think of it as like we start with an empty cup, or maybe it got filled up a little bit in our birth or something like that, depending on it being a traumatic birth or even in the womb. And then it just slowly starts to fill up from the time we're born with, you know, little accidents and injuries. And there might be big T traumas and smaller traumas and emotional traumas. And eventually the cup's overflowing. And that is when we're feeling pain in our body. And it's like our body just giving us this message, like, you got to pay attention. You've got to listen and see where the work needs to be done. And so much of that can be learned through tuning into our intuition.
I love that too, this concept of like, yes, there's the physical sensation that might be telling us that something is amiss in our body, but also that maybe we can start to tune in when it's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last thing I'll say is just that fascia is kind of how we conduct electrical currents through our body. So the way it can be changed is once it has sort of solidified as a restriction, just through the gentle, sustained pressure of myofascial release, whether that's with a practitioner like me or just working on yourself, what can happen is that pressure is put into the system and there's something called piezoelectricity, which is like pressure electricity. And so it creates this change in charge. and then what's called phase transition, where something that is more solid turns to this more liquid crystal. Mm-hmm. And so you can think of, you know, folks that have restricted range of motion or some sort of dysfunction, suddenly their body moves so much more freely because those areas that were solidified turn back into a more fluid consistency.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah, like I went to massage school too. That's probably something, I don't know that you would know that about me, but I also went to massage school and I learned, we had a very, probably similar to you, a tiny little lesson on myofascial work. Like, I feel like it was, I can't even remember if it was more than one day or a few hours, but it was, I remember that feeling of it being very gentle, like light touch and slow. And it's so interesting to think about that, because when you're thinking about like all these different massage techniques, like sometimes you're like, you know, really rubbing an area to warm it up, or you're like deeply working on an area, or can, you know, you're doing repetitive motions on an area to kind of warm it up or loosen it up. And potentially that can sometimes support the release, but a lot of times it will actually return if it's not done consistently. Whereas this, like, I'm so curious, I'm excited to hear more about your work, but like, I'm so curious, like the slow, sustained, very gentle pressure and this idea that it could kind of shift in state from like more solid to more fluid might have, I mean, there's a potential for that to be more of a lasting release. Is that true?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea that I've learned from my mentor, John Barnes. And it's by sustaining the pressure for a certain amount of time, usually 5 minutes at a minimum, sometimes a little less, but usually it's at least 5 minutes. Sometimes I'm in one place kind of with one hold for 10 minutes or more.
Wow.
And by sustaining that pressure, it allows us to get into the collagenous, the collagen part mm-hmm. of our fascia. And that's really what creates our shape and structure. And I think the word collagen comes from something like glue. And so you can just think of how we're just kind of getting these parts to be able to glide upon each other more easily, just basically creating a more liquid, fluid body is sort of what I think of it as. And so I learned from John Barnes, who is the founder of myofascial release. There are different kind of lineages, but I really don't know about other ones besides what I've learned from John. And a lot of his work too is just around tuning into our intuition. But what I just keep coming back to is that I just think that this is the work that was done for who knows how many centuries of literally what I am doing is I am putting my hands on the body and I'm using my hands to listen. To listen to the body and to feel into those sacred waters. Really just, I think that it sounds so simple and, you know, I've been doing it for a decade, so I've gotten a lot better at being able to just tune in that way. But myofascial release is just amazing. It is gentle, but it works very deeply. That's what I like to tell my clients to expect. You know, it's sometimes you might have some pain with it, but one of the principles of John Barnes' style of myofascial release is to never force. So you're basically putting your hands, you might be stretching the tissue or putting pressure into the tissue until you reach a barrier. And then you wait at that barrier until the body releases on its own. So it's not as much me forcing through or doing the work as it is allowing the body the space to release when it's ready.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of just offering your presence and patience. I think that's something so many of us don't have in this modern world. Yeah. We're like constantly in this place of fast. We're so stimulated. We're so into stimulation and almost like hyper stimulation. What you're describing is the absolute opposite of that.
It is. And, you know, I can sometimes have a hard transition going from my work day to being with my small children for this reason. Like, I do love the really slow, really quiet, patient work, I guess. And the more I think about it, the more I just recognize how much I've trained my hands to be good listeners. And yeah, it's a really special modality, I think. And more my clients, you know, I used to, when I'd put my hands on someone, I might have some thoughts of, oh, they might not feel like anything's happening at first. And now I just really trust that the right people are going to find me. And I don't know the last time I've had anyone not feel anything. Most of the time people are saying like, wow, I'm just feeling this really subtle movement or whatever it is. And that's what I'm feeling, is this really subtle unwinding that it feels like water under my hands. You know, it feels like it might be moving in a spiral. It might be moving in a figure eight lemniscate infinity sort of shape, or it might just be subtly moving in whatever three directional way it wants to go. And I just sort of follow that and wait for it to fully release.
And so are you, as you're like present there and feeling these motions, are you actually moving your hand as you're feeling that? Or is it, you're just kind of in one position?
I am moving my hand, but often that's such a microscopic movement that you might not even be able to see it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know? So sometimes it's a bigger movement, but usually it's a smaller movement. And it's cool to think back to when I first started, and I couldn't really feel nearly as much movement. And, you know, I would say it's, if you think of like craniosacral work or something like that, like there are all these rhythms under our hands. And I do a lot of cranial work in the style of myofascial release. It only takes our pelvis being off by not that much for that bowl, that pelvic bowl, because it really is shaped like a bowl, to be totally out of balance. And I think of our pelvic bowl as really holding our energy, and that when it's out of balance, our energy is spilling out. It's just spilling out of our body. And so, you know, just think of how microscopic these shifts can be in our body and make a huge difference. Same with cranial bones, you know, like that's why it's so funny to me that people often, you know, I had a woman come one time who'd had a lumpectomy in her breast, and she was having all this pain in her neck. And I said, well, I'd really like to work on that lumpectomy scar if you'd let me. And it was so bizarre to her. She's like, well, but that's, you know, that's my breast and the problem is in my neck. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but like, think about how close those two body parts are to each other. You know, It doesn't really take much once you understand the concept of connectivity in our body. It's like, well, why did we ever think of anything as separate, really? Because of course we're totally connected.
Yeah, I think in some ways the separation concept came from a place of studying the body, because you have to kind of separate it to understand it. Like you like
absolutely
open it up and you're like, okay, this is the liver and this is the kidney and these are the bones. And then somehow people started to specialize in those areas, when I feel like what's happening right now, I'm
totally
with that, but I feel like, you know, what's happening now is like they're even in medicine, even in the biomedical world, there's a lot more integrative concept coming about. It's slow, but it's happening. You know, people are like, oh, this is actually an integrative issue. Like, this is not something that only I can, you know, this particular structural issue that is going on here is not something only I can care for. We also need nutritionists, and we also need body workers, and we also need, you know, people to work on digestion. Thankfully, at
absolutely
least some awareness coming in.
Yes, absolutely. And we do need those specialists too, because
totally, yeah,
the human body is just so incredibly complex. There's so much I don't understand about the body, but I can come at it with my own bias and my own expertise and approach it that way. And like I said, I feel like the right people find me when they're ready to do the work, because the other aspect is that often there needs to be some emotional release in order for the fascia to release. And I think this comes from, so often in our society, even as children, we're taught that we need to hold it in, especially boys growing up, but girls too. I mean, any gender, it's a common theme that we are taught to suppress our emotion and our emotional release. And so I think of that as really, at some point, it just starts to fill up our body and there isn't space for our waters to flow. This is actually kind of, I'm just having an epiphany about that right now, because that really does feel like what it is. It feels like our emotional energy just takes up too much space. And so the water gets stuck and stagnant. And until we release it through tears or some sort of sound or some sort of emotional release, it won't flow the way it's supposed to. And so the energy gets stuck. And just in general, like I think our lymph and all the aspects of our body that are meant to flow are not able to.
This makes so much sense as you're speaking about it. I was also thinking as you were speaking about how I think of how many emotions get caught in our pelvic area and also in our breasts and our chest. Like those are two places that I feel like our emotions get stuck.
I totally agree with you.
Is there anything more you want to share about what myofascial work is? You shared about John Barnes and you shared about kind of this slow and gentle and subtle but present approach. Is there anything more you want to share just to give us a picture?
I think I'll just go back to what you said about those emotions getting stuck in our breasts and our pelvic bowl. And I do find that, you know, I'm primarily working with women, but it's our bowl seems to really hold. It holds whatever we need it to. It's also our source of creative energy. So our womb, you know, whether we're creating life through having babies, or it's just creativity in our work, or we're artists, or whatever it is, that's the place in our body that I feel like our creativity is held and flows. And when we have trauma or emotional kind of stuckness in that area, there isn't room for that creativity. And so that's part of my work with the pelvic bowl, is helping to release those restrictions so that creativity can flow. And then in the breasts, I've just tuned in more and more to our nourishment and breasts as a source of nourishment, and also the connection to the heart. And so often what our heart needs is some sort of nourishment, whether that's just through unconditional self-love or forgiveness or trust. Our heart needs that nourishment. And it seems like there's a connection with our breasts, and also that the world's kind of anxiety falls on our chest, you know, like a weight on our chest. So all of these sayings, even, you know, like a weight on your shoulders, a weight on your chest, I think they're there for a reason. That is just where we often carry those, whether it's pressure or like a wound. And so, yeah, I think myofascial release is just one way. I believe that there are so many amazing healing modalities in the world, but for me, myofascial release has been the biggest healer for me in working through some chronic stuck patterns. And I guess that's the last thing I'll say, is that there can be these chronic patterns in our body. And probably most people listening to this can relate to these sort of emotional, psychological patterns we have, where we're just like, oh, we're doing that again. Like, oh, I'm, you know, sabotaging my relationship again. Oh, I can't be in this stable place again. Whatever it is, you know, we have these patterns that we hold on to, and they keep expressing themselves in our life over and over again until we have fully learned the lessons. And myofascial release somehow works into the subconscious and allows us to change those patterns and to release them. And so, you know, really with myofascial release, you aren't going to have a full understanding of it until you just experience it. But I think that's a pretty good description of what it is.
Wow. Yeah, it is. Let's just say multidimensional.
Yeah.
Many, many layered, like literally many layered, multidimensional, can kind of be both solid and fluid, a web that connects everything and can relate to our emotions. It's just, it can hold stuck trauma. That could be physical trauma. That could be emotional trauma. So much, so much. So yeah. It's amazing to think that there's this modality, that specifically this one, but like you're saying, there are so many, there's so many different modalities. This is a physical, one thing that is a little different about this from like craniosacral work, is even more subtle, I think, in my experience, yes, than this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this actually you are placing pressure on the body.
Yes. So I think the main difference, and I've experienced amazing healing work from a craniosacral therapist that I see sometimes, that is a bit more subtle and it has its own sort of energetic quality. And myofascial release, even the cranial work, there is a bit more pressure because you're really trying to find that barrier. And people that are huge proponents of myofascial release would say that it has more lasting results. I don't want to say that because I've just experienced really beautiful work with craniosacral therapists. And I'm not really into the idea of saying like, this is better than that. Mm-hmm. But there's something about putting pressure to that barrier and waiting there for the release. And hopefully that having more lasting change, like for example, in our cranial bones, which really should be all the time kind of having this really subtle movement, rocking sort of motion. And they can easily get jammed up upon each other. And I love working on the head and the face. And, you know, there's just a lot of times that I'll have clients come and they have some sort of ear infection or sinus pain or all of these things. And I am sometime, probably this fall or winter, going to teach a class on self-care for those sorts of ailments of your face and head. But it's just amazing what can happen. I'm just thinking of this experience that one of my clients had where she had really bad ear infection. She had seen a doctor, I think a couple times. She ended up on antibiotics. Nothing shifted. I think she might have been on her second round of antibiotics, and she came in and I just worked on her head and ears. And then she had this blob of something come out later that night and everything totally shifted. And so for parents, it's good to know about these things too, because so many kids have, you know, for example, like chronic ear infections or just sort of chronic challenges in their head and in their cranial bones and in their neck or that sort of thing. And I think a lot can be changed very quickly, especially with little ones who don't have that many years of restrictions built up.
Yeah, that all makes sense. It's interesting just to hear. I remember in bodywork school, I haven't really practiced bodywork for almost 15 years, but when I was in school and when I was practicing, but specifically when we were learning about craniosacral work, learning about the connection between the head, the skull, and the sacrum in the pelvis, and just how related they really are. Do you
totally? I do, because so often if someone's having a problem in their pelvis, they most likely need work in their pelvis and balancing their bony pelvis, the pelvic bones. But then if we don't release something up in their head, you know, maybe at their occipital area, at the base of their skull, they're just going to continue going back into misalignment or vice versa. So people that have chronic headaches, they need their pelvis balance. There's so much connection there. And of course there is, like our spine runs between those two centers of our body, our pelvis and our cranium. And so, yeah, I notice a lot of connection there. And I absolutely love the sacrum. I just find it to be sacred. It's such a sacred body part. And, you know, it connects to our uterus and our womb space. I love, for example, like working on the sacrum and then doing internal work and also working on the soft tissue of the abdomen and the womb space to just see how everything changes in alignment by working on one of those three places. Mm. And I see it all the time where, you know, it feels like I'm not trained in Mayan abdominal massage or that style of uterine work, but I've experienced enough of it and learned the basics that I have some sense of that. And so I might feel the uterus tipped to one side and I find that the cervix is off to the side or something like that, and then work on the sacrum and maybe it has a twist in it. And so maybe I'll work to kind of undo that twist in the sacrum. And I'm thinking of this one client I had. She had a lot of challenges with her womb. She had adenomyosis and she'd had challenging pregnancies, and her sacrum was really twisted to one side. And one of the techniques in myofascial release, which is I think also used in a lot of physical therapy and maybe osteopathy too, is just going in the direction of ease first. So as if you have a drawer that's stuck and you have to push it in before you can pull it out, it's like that. And so if I find someone's sacrum is twisted in one direction, I actually kind of exaggerate that and put it in that direction of ease, like where it wants to twist, and wait until I feel that there's been some release there. And then I can go in the opposite direction, the direction it is less likely to want to go. And it somehow finds its balance there once we do it that way. So that stuck drawer I think of a lot, because if we try to force the body to go in a direction it doesn't want to go, it just won't. The same way if a drawer is stuck and you pull and pull and pull, it's just not going to come. But sometimes you just have to give it that subtle pushing in order to be able to pull it out.
That's so interesting. And it makes sense to me, even when you think about it in other realms of our beings, where we might like have certain, I don't know, patterns that aren't necessarily like the healthiest pattern for us. We might have like a craving for sugar, for instance, but in order to shift that, we might have to kind of, instead of just resisting it and saying, no, no more, never, actually like embracing it and accepting it and allowing it. And then coming from that place and saying, what are my other options here? Versus
absolutely. Yeah, there's so much. That's a really good point. And there's so much about just that acceptance before a pattern will release. And, you know, just kind of actually even honoring that shadow side of ourselves or whatever it is. So yeah, I think that is, I've never thought of it that way, but that totally makes sense to me.
I love thinking, I mean, because it's all like really what you're sharing about, this is specific to myofascial release work and to thinking about fascia in this way. But all of this, like we are, like just like we were saying before, like we are the earth. We are like everything connected. We are multi-layered beings. And I feel like it all kind of works in the same way. It's just like, how do we interact with it? And there are so many, like you were saying before, like there are so many ways to therapeutically work with ourselves, to shift imbalances. It doesn't have to be just like one path. Like many times we actually, it's helpful to work with many practitioners or to try a variety of different approaches to really find, you know, a shift in ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally believe that.
Which is why I'm so into integrative work and why I'm so happy to have you here. And also just like to bring one of the things with this podcast is like, I love bringing people on who are doing complementary work in different ways, you know, like really integrative healing work is what we need. So the more of us that we can kind of plant some seeds and maybe this like resonates for one person at this time, or like you were saying, like the people find you at the time that it's right for them to receive that work versus like you know, 10 years before when they're not even going to be receptive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think my path with herbs, for example, for a lot of people, it's unfortunate, but they have been so trained to not think of herbs as our allies in healing that I love to just figure out what are those little ways. And I think starting with the body and just starting to tune in with our body, it allows more space in us to see how there can be magic, both in our bodies and from the earth and from these plants. And one of the projects I'm working on is I'll be self-publishing a children's book this fall that's about having a cup of tea at bedtime and then the dream world that this child goes into. And so this book is going to be about chamomile. But, you know, for me, it was like, well, I want kids and parents to learn that if their children need some support in their life, they could simply have a cup of herbal tea and it really will make a difference. And so that was kind of my impetus for writing that book. But I think we have to meet people where they're at. And the simple ways we can do that are just finding the little tiny gifts that we can share and not forcing through, same as like the myofascial release principle of not forcing through, you know, just offering these little gifts to people. And when they're ready, they will accept it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love it so much. I love the idea of just like, just a cup of tea, just a cup of chamomile tea too. That's something that's familiar to people. It's not going to be something that's like completely foreign. They've never heard of it before. And chamomile to me is such an unsung hero. People who've been listening to this podcast for a while will know that that's a thought of mine. But I love that you're focusing on chamomile. I'm also going to give a shout out because I saw on your Instagram some of the illustrations that are in that beautiful book. Holy mama. It is going to be a chapter.
It really is. Yeah. I'm working with John Morrow, who is just such an amazing illustrator who grew up right where I live in Vermont. And I would say the illustrations really make the book, but it is essentially a poem that I wrote. And I want to honor the herbs that people do know of chamomile. That's why I started with that. I'm hoping this can become a series. But also along with that, you know, some of the other themes in that book are that this girl goes into chamomile land in her dreams and how we can work with the plant spirits, the plant spirit medicine, and how we can also tap into our subconscious through our dreams and just the magic of dreams. And, you know, so often when I'm working with folks doing myofascial release, they'll have some vision that's coming through their subconscious, and it can be really powerful in their healing for them to allow that to come through. And so just all of these kind of unseen magics and mysteries, that's kind of what I just more and more am in awe at how my life is unfolding, and both the connections to plants and to the my body. And so, yeah, your podcast, I feel like, is a perfect place for me to be right now talking with you.
Yeah, I love the interweaving of it all. I really do. I feel it. I feel it. I feel like so excited that we're sharing about your book too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we take a moment? Would you be open to walking us through some kind of like basic, simple myofascial practice that people can maybe just to for people to be able to get a sense of what this could feel like in their own body?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would love to walk through a simple practice. And so I was trying to think of what I would want to do here. And I think the one that would be easiest for whoever is listening is just to put your hands right on your upper chest. And if you have breasts, it could be kind of between or above your breasts. But we're really going to tune into the heart here. So just letting your hands sink in to the tissue on your bare skin. That's important with myofascial release, is working on dry, bare skin. And just first, just allowing yourself to feel into your body. Like feel deeper into your body. And one thing I haven't mentioned is that with myofascial release, what I'm really trying to do when my hands are on a body is to resonate with that person. And so you're essentially trying to find resonance within yourself from your hand into your body. And so just breathing into your chest space and into the space where your hand is, and then just starting to traction downward toward the floor. So your hand is not going to be sliding on your skin. It's just going to be tractioning down. And just even just that simple motion, you might start to feel, I'm doing it with one hand. I would otherwise be doing it with two, but you might start to feel how it tugs up into your neck or your shoulders. You might feel it in the back of your chest, so like your upper back. You might feel it in your jaw, and just continue to hold that traction. Hold it so that you're tractioning your hand downward. And if you want to, you can extend your head back so that you're looking up toward the sky. And just continue to breathe and just feel into how you're creating space there in your upper chest when you do this technique. And really the way to do this is to then hold it for at least 5 minutes, sometimes even longer. But after about a minute and a half, you might feel a little bit of a release, and that's the elastic component of your fascia. And then as you hold it longer, you'll feel it release even more. And you might feel it, like I said, up into your neck or your head. And you can let your head move in any direction. You might find that if you tip your right ear to your right shoulder, that you feel more of a stretch there, and that might feel really good. Or as long as you're kind of keeping that traction downward and that tension between the two places, like your head and your hand, where your hand is, it doesn't really matter how you move. And so there's also this aspect in myofascial release of unwinding. And that is just allowing your intuition to move your body in whatever way it wants to. So you can just allow yourself to do that. After a few minutes, you can just release your hand and see how it feels. So I don't know if there's anything else we want to talk about while people do that, but you can really just stay here for as long as you want. And when you release, most people will feel that there's been some space created in their chest. Maybe their day's anxiety has kind of floated away, or they just feel more of a connection to their heart. And you can also try to really visualize that connection with your heart and breathe into the space around your heart. I love to think of the breath as sort of an internal massage, just enveloping your heart. And also, like, it's like the wind just kind of eroding away any little places of restriction. So this is work that I would do, that anyone can do, but it's kind of a precursor to the work that I do with women's breast care. That's what I would share for a little practice.
It's so good. Yeah. So that is so, so good and so simple and so accessible. I guess a couple questions that come up for me are, one, how do you encourage people who might have maybe some shame or some, I don't know, different emotions or self-consciousness around, especially their breasts or their chest? Like, do you have any ways to support people?
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't realize how much that would come up in my myofascial breast care course that I taught online, and I'm going to teach it again live on July 16th online. And I've got a coupon code for this podcast if we want to share that at the end. But that came up for a lot of people, shame, and also just remembering what they felt like when their breasts were starting to develop, and how that changed their relationship with the world, or what they sensed was different in interactions they had and those sorts of things. So what I've learned from Tammy Kent, who's the holistic pelvic care mentor that I've had, is where there is honor, shame cannot exist. And so that's what I would encourage, is to just really honor your body, however it is. And so just even saying to yourself silently some sort of mantra, like, I am sacred, over and over again until you really believe it. That's what I would recommend the most. And shame comes in so many different ways. So if I was working one-on-one with someone, that might come up more specifically around maybe their mother line. And then we're working a little bit more with that sort of ancestral clearing, or, you know, it's hard to say how I would approach it one-on-one. I'm just thinking this is more a story of womb healing, but I've got a person visiting from Vancouver, British Columbia right now, who's doing an intensive with me, which is 15 hours of treatment in the week. And we just had a session this morning where one of the things she had identified in previous work was that she felt that the cord was cut too soon when she was born, that her umbilical cord was cut too soon. And she's very sensitive in that part of her body, so she never liked people to touch there. This relates a little bit less to the breasts. I don't know why it came through for me, but I was working internally, vaginally, in her pelvis, and could really feel that there was this lack of connection with the left side, which I've learned from Tammy Kent is often related to either the feminine or our mother's line or our mother, or just our mother. And so we started to kind of tune into this left side, and I was doing myofascial work in her pelvis, and she started to have some things come up around that cord cutting. And so I put my hand over her navel, and that original scar, I mean, that's an interesting thing for all of us, is our very first scar is our belly button. And it can be really powerful, that place where we first had the severing of our ties from our mother. And all of us have that, you know, it's something that every single person on this earth has, is a belly button and that original scar. And I do a lot of guided visualization. And so we just reworked her birth story, and I allowed her to go into her mind's eye of herself as an infant, and for her to say when it was time to cut the cord. And it was very powerful for her. She had a lot of emotional release. And there was also this recognition at the same time. We talked about her mother never breastfed her because the doctors just told her she didn't need to. You know, it was at the time when a bottle was encouraged. And she started to tune into this, what she called hatred. And she said, I don't know if it's hatred of me towards my mother or her towards me. And it just very quickly came in for me that I didn't really have anything to do with my client on the table. It was the mother's self-hatred over not being able to nourish her baby. Whether or not she even consciously ever thought that, I know now that I'm a mother that there's a really special release, I guess I would say, of the milk that we make as mothers. And obviously, for some women, that is just not in the cards. And I'm not trying to comment on that, but I can comment as a mother on that experience of nourishing my babies through my breast. And it's really powerful and really intense. And that really hit home for her. She could really feel how she, as a baby, had kind of absorbed this hatred that her mother had for herself. And my client was a very sensitive being and had just continually kind of absorbed her mother's emotions and tried to calm her mother, basically. And it was just such a beautiful moment of transformation where my client could really, afterwards, she was just like, yeah, this thing's really shifted. And I think she could really feel into her mother's pain around some of those experiences and her own pain of that disconnection happening too soon. And it felt like, you know, it might come up for her again someday, but she felt like there was a really big release and that it might be complete, you know? So just by giving that space and presence and doing the visualization, we can, whatever it is, whether it's shame or rage or hatred or whatever that emotion is, there's a way to transmute that and find the beauty in it. And I think that that's always possible for all of us.
Wow. That's such an amazing and powerful story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that story. And I think there's probably a lot of people who can relate to that in some way in their own being. And just to invite that level of awareness and presence and listening inside ourselves and the potential for healing our lineage through presence with ourselves is really powerful.
Yeah. And that was how we sort of ended that session is I said, you know, the other interesting piece of that is all of the women in her mother's line that she knows of had had hysterectomies. And so as we were doing this work, I just said, you know, all your mother and your grandmothers and your aunties, they are all here for you and they are honoring you for doing this work to heal yourself and to heal them, you know, and that's, I really do believe that we're at this point where time is not linear and we can work with our ancestors and we can work with our descendants. We can work with anyone that we choose to, and all these connections are there. And so we just have to tap into those connections and so much can change.
I believe the same. I really feel it and I believe it. I actually recently had a podcast sort of on connecting with our ancestral lineage and our relationship both to the womb lineage, to our womb lineage, the wombs that came before us, and how, you know, it's not necessarily like, I think there's a part of me that's like, it's not necessarily our work to heal every single ancestral trauma that's existed.
Yeah.
Because that
absolutely.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that can feel really heavy or scary or too much. But like, as you're saying, it's like when we give presence and when we offer some listening, and when we feel something bubbling up, and then maybe that's the right time to access that trauma and like work with that. But we don't have to go digging around, like finding every single thing that's in there.
No, absolutely not. And just when those things come up, that's my big work too, is just helping people to tune into their body and really listen when those messages do come up and to not be, I think the other lesson is, like you just said, to not be trying to dig too deep or seek too much, you know, like really the work we need to do, it just comes to us if we're present and open to it.
Oh, Lindsay, I resonate with you so much. I feel like I could talk to you all day. Really, yeah. Like, I feel like there's just a lot of overlapping in the way that we see the world and we view healing and bodies and plants and life. And I just appreciate this conversation. I'm excited for us to like know each other. And actually
be in the
region, general region. So I hope that we get opportunities to collaborate in some way, because I can envision that being really beautiful. So thank you so much for all of this.
Thank you so much.
And I am curious. Yeah. Do you want to share about that class coming up? Like if people are listening to you and they're like, holy mama, wow, like Lindsay is a really special human and I would love to learn more from her, work with her even, like, you know, receive body work from her. Where would they go? How can they connect?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at AlchemyMFR, MFR for myofascial release. And my website is alchemymfr.com. Those are the great places to find me. If anyone wants to, I do in-person work in Vermont. I'm in Shrewsbury and Rutland, Vermont, kind of central Vermont. And if anyone from afar wants to come and experience body work with me, I do 10-hour and 15-hour intensive treatments, and they could get in touch about that. The intensives are a great way to really work through those subconscious holding patterns and to really have big shifts. So that's kind of the way that treatment is done in the national myofascial release clinics. And then for just simpler ways that anyone can connect with me, my online classes in myofascial breast care, that is online on my website. You can find a link or in my bio. And it has an add-on for something called Spiraling Down Under, which is a pelvic care course that has three components. One is on sort of uterine alignment with a myofascial approach. One aspect is doing the internal pelvic work, which I just walk people through in a simple way. And then the third aspect is just looking at the bony pelvis and some self-treatment techniques for that. And so that's one course. And then the other course is called Flow, and it's an internal pelvic myofascial course. And so that is guiding women to work vaginally in their pelvic bowl. And we do some external techniques in the pelvic bowl as well. So there's that called Flow. And then an add-on for that, that's kind of housed in that course, is called Flow Deeper. And that is guided visualizations and my own stories of pelvic healing from various pelvic traumas that I've experienced and some journal prompts. And that covers seven different topics, including womb loss and challenging pregnancy, birth experiences, cervical dysplasia, just taking our power back after sexual assault or those sorts of experiences. So it's kind of deeper work. But in July, on July 16th, I'll be teaching my breast care course again live, because even if women have taken it once, it's the type of thing I basically realized, like, oh, it's been a while since I've done a big breast care session for myself. And I was like, I just need to keep teaching these live, because there's something so powerful about gathering as a group and doing the work together. Mm-hmm. So right now the recordings are available and that's a way to access it, but I will be doing it live again on July 16th. And I can give you a coupon code for that, that I'm trying to make them really accessible. So it'll be $33 with the coupon code WISDOM. For this podcast. And later in September, I will teach Flow again. I'll teach my internal pelvic course again live, because again, they are practices that we need to take on in a regular way. And I know for me, as a kind of busy working mom with a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, that sometimes just having these sorts of events on my calendar is what makes it happen. Mm-hmm. And so ideally you'd be doing some like little bits of this work every day, but if you can't make that happen, or even if you can and you just want to go deeper with a group, that's what these courses are for. And the only other thing I'll mention is that I'm on the staff for, it's called the Radical Pelvic Health Intensive, and it's put on by Adelaide Meadow, who's just an amazing educator in women's health. And that is here in Vermont, August 1st through 6th, and there's still a few places left. And I'll be doing hands-on body work for every participant that's there, hands-on and hands-in body work. And I'll also be teaching about fascia. It's pretty much focused around pelvic health and fascia. And so I'll be teaching about fascia there, as well as teaching the internal self-care as a live group there. So that's going to be really cool. And I think that's about it. And I'm so grateful to talk with you. And I'm so excited. The podcasts of yours that I've listened to, I was just like, I said yes to being on this podcast before I'd listened. And then I started listening and I was like, wow, I really feel so much resonance with you. And I'm just grateful for all the work that you're doing and all this amazing information that you're sharing with the world. So thank you so much. And I feel confident that we'll get to work together and meet in some capacity.
Me too. It really is an honor to have you. I feel like I'm just like meeting with a kin soul. Like, we are definitely in the same family.
Yes, for sure. I feel that.
Yeah, I very much appreciate you coming on and sharing all your embodied wisdom. That is like so my vibe, and I'm just so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Woo, woo. You have made it to the end of the episode. Beautiful friend, thank you. Thanks for sticking around. And I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope you received a lot. I know that Lindsay was just kind of offering so much embodied wisdom throughout that entire time. whether that related to specifically around fascia or just like around listening more deeply to the wisdom that's held like in your tissues, in your body, just starting to offer presence to parts of your body, because it really feels like that myofascial release definitely has that like hands-on touch. And it has that presence that you're offering for this longer period of time. I love that concept. I loved how we talked about the acceptance, like really coming into that place of embracing and accepting and allowing the dropping in more deeply to happen on its own and not forcing. Like all of that is just, yeah, really interesting. I think it's applicable, whether that is physically, myofascially in our body, or that is in other areas of our lives where we may have patterns that are undesirable or imbalanced. I hope that that has been inspiring for you to kind of peer into your own life and see how you can bring that in. And hopefully it can help, it can be healthful for you, bring you to some new possibilities and hopefulness in ways that you can work with yourself. But again, if you're interested in checking out any of the links that Lindsay mentioned to her work, to working with her, to learning with her, to that myofascial breast care class this weekend, and you're interested in attending that live, or you want the replay, or you want to get it in the future, you can find all of that information and links to that in the description and in the show notes page. Again, the show notes is herbalwomb.com/episode77. herbalwomb.com/episode77. And you can always find the links down below this episode. And yeah, I just hope that you've really received a lot. Oh, I will say some of Lindsay's social media has changed since we recorded. And we actually just recorded about a month ago, but some of her social media has changed. And so she is now actually not at Alchemy MFR. She is at, let me see here, Lindsay Corsell. She's at Lindsay Corsell. So, and that's on Instagram. So I will definitely put that updated social media link for you in the show notes, and you can find all of her links. All of her updated links will be there. Okay. So if you loved this episode and you received some kind of insight or gem or takeaway from it, I would love to hear about it, whether that is sharing publicly on social media in something like a story and tagging me at Herbal Womb Wisdom and letting me know what your takeaway is, or you can DM me. You can always DM me at Herbal Womb Wisdom. That's great too. And if you feel like there's someone in your life that would benefit from hearing this episode, anything in that wisdom that Lindsay shared, whether that's like the embodiment pieces or the earth connection pieces or the ways that our bodies hold emotions or any of it, then share it with them. And that could be in a DM or a text message, or it could be on social media, however you would like to share it. Okay, well, that is all for today. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing this time and space together. It is such an honor to be here with you, to be building this herbal womb community together, to be exploring all of the different facets of healing our wombs and our pelvises and our breasts and our chests and our whole bodies, and really just looking at our relationship with the earth and our relationship with each other and our relationship with our lineages, like all of it. It's such an honor to share this and to be creating this with you. Really, we're creating this together. Really, this podcast is nothing without you. You are absolutely a part of the Herbal Womb community. And if you want to be a part of the email community, that's the Herbal Womb community, if you're not already there, I know many, many of you are, but if you're not already there, you can totally sign up for that. I just share podcast episodes as they come out every week at herbalwomb.com/join the community. You're welcome to join there. I'll also, of course, mention if I have any special offerings. I also often add on just like extra resources, depending on the week, that might relate to the theme or might be coming up or might be things that are happening in the community or worldwide. So if you're interested in that, feel free to check that out too. And otherwise, I think we're done. We are done for today. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, live well, connect deeply, and have a beautiful rest of your day.